Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. If you care enough for the living, make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, cannot lie. Love is strong, it only cares for joyful giving. If we try, we shall see, in this bliss we cannot feel. There are dreams, stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always, love's enough, always growing.
You and for me and the entire human race.
Internet, you are listening to another edition of Journey into the Light. I'm your host, Michael Long, and we're set for a great show tonight. My very special guest tonight is psychic medium Gretchen Vogel, and she'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. We will be taking your call for psychic readings, especially mediumship readings, to connect with someone on the other side. My guest tonight is an author. She has written a book about the afterlife and where do our souls go from here? You know, that's one of our number one questions on my show. Where do our souls go from here, really? What is it like on the other side? We're going to be talking about that because our guest tonight is a practicing psychic medium for more than 20 years. And her book is called Choices in the Afterlife. So, really looking forward to our show tonight. How are you guys doing out there? So glad to see you. We had a fantastic evening. As you guys know, my daughter plays high school basketball as a sophomore on the varsity team. And today was their district game. Now they're in the playoffs. And they weren't expected to, but in a very, very close game, they won by like 2 points and won the district. That was the first time their high school girls ever won district championship. And Holly had a double-double, 10 points, 11 rebounds, and she was just so excited. Of course, her father was also. So it was very, very exciting. To see all the girls working so hard and playing such a tough team and persevering, being so close. Very, very exciting time. Anyway, I had to throw that out there. welcome, everybody, in the Jill family chat room. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all of you guys. a quick programming note. Tomorrow night, my special guest is going to be Dionysus for the whole show. 9 p.m. Central Time is our normal start time. And then Thursday, I have Deb, it's so funny. Thursday, I have a special programming note. You guys know Dr. Luis Torrey. Dr. Torrey has been on my show several times. Great astrologer, psychic, spiritual. He's internationally known, very famous. Anyway, Dr. Torrey has recently been fighting cancer, and he's actually even been overseas trying to beat the cancer. Well, I spoke with him last night, and he has beaten the cancer, and he wants to come on the show Thursday night and talk to all of you how you can cope if you have cancer and also how you can beat cancer, how he beat cancer. So that's going to be Thursday night's show, Dr. Torrey. And that's just going to be an amazing show. So please mark that down. Tell your friends. It's going to be a really great time on Thursday night. Okay, so welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. And let me call in to our guest and bring on our guest here. All the phone lines are full right now, so if you're trying to call in, please wait till we go to the phone lines and someone hangs up. Is your best bet. So we'll be getting underway here in just a half a second here. So we're going to take a pause here for about 4 or 5 seconds. Okay, so Journey into the Light would like to welcome our special guest tonight, psychic medium Gretchen Vogel. Gretchen, are you there?
Yes, I am, Michael.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. Very happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Really looking forward to this. Your subject area about the afterlife is exactly what we look into every single show, so I'm really been a passion of mine, you know, looking into the other side ever since I lost my parents, and I'm really looking forward to all that we're going to talk about tonight.
Yes. Yes, me too. Well, I always start with the good news and the bad news about the afterlife. The good news about the afterlife is that we're not different people after we die. The bad news about the afterlife is we're not different people after we die. I kind of take a lighthearted and down-to-earth approach to it. But my book really is to decrease fear in people and prepare them for the subjective experience of the transition that we call death. So I don't attack it sort of from the point of view that there is no death and it's not a big deal. It is a big deal to those of us facing the transition. So my book is to be a comfort to people and to help them perhaps release some of the fear that they might have about their own transition.
Right. Before we go any further, mm-hmm. Gretchen, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, how you got started being a psychic medium and everything?
Well, I have to say that being a psychic is a sort of a side path to my own spiritual path. It's not what I consider the main part of my work. I'm a writer and a teacher and a gardener, and I love animals, and I love taking care of my home. Being a psychic is something that I can do, being a medium. And I look at it as a mission to ease the grief of living people who find me. But, as I say, it's kind of an adjunct to my own spiritual path, which has been long and circuitous in this lifetime, but I feel like I'm more than halfway there. So about 30-plus years ago, I guess when I was in my early 20s, and I'm 58 now, I was praying for my grandmother because that was in the tradition of my religion. And as I prayed for her, she seemed to be there, and I thought it was just a comforting hallucination, until she began to kind of talk back and tell me things that I couldn't know. And I thought, whoa, this is getting a little bit to be more than a hallucination here. And I had gone for past life readings with a psychic in a nearby town. And one day this particular woman, Kathleen, called me up and she said, "I've lost my cat. And I can't find my cat, and you're going to help me find my cat." And I thought, well, why do you think I can help you find your cat? I mean, I'd like to help you, but she said, "Oh, you're a psychic. You can do this." And I said, "Yeah, right." So that night when I was praying to my grandmother, I said, and this grandmother was a cat lover, absolute cat lover. I said, "Granny, if you're really there, you know, and this is really happening, can you help me find Kathleen's cat?" And the next morning when I got up, I was taking something out of the closet, and this pillow kind of jumped into my hands that had a cross stitch of a Siamese cat on it. And it had been a pillow that belonged to my grandmother, but the way it sort of leaped out at me was a little alarming. And then I thought, oh, okay, right, coincidence. And then I went outside, and I was just having my tea and sort of found myself stroking a large catnip bush that was outside the house for our own cats. And I didn't think too much about that. And I had volunteered to go with Kathleen on a tour of all the campgrounds that she had been on, because she didn't know which one her kitty got out of the camper at. So we were about 200 miles from home, and I saw a barn, one of the ones we stopped at, and I saw a barn with large catnip bushes outside, and this was set back away from where the campground was that we were exploring and calling the kitty. And I said, Kathleen, your cat is here. So Kathleen left a sweater and some food, and she went back the next day. I didn't, and Chella was on her. I think she had left a jacket of hers with her scent. So that's when I started thinking that something was happening. And then I just practiced with my own ancestors. They were very good experimental subjects and very cooperative and willing to help me. So just the development of it from the part of my brain that could see what was happening, even to the part of my brain that could speak what was happening, that development took about 6 or 8 months. You know, I could see it, but I couldn't really speak it into a tape recorder. You know, I couldn't make the connection between those parts of my brain for a while. So I just practice, practice, practice. I mean, I think we all can do this to some extent. And there are a lot of very good practitioners out there now. You know, there are lots of us, which is great. I think we all can do it. I think it's just a matter of, do you want to? And, you know, are you just willing to put the time in the meditation? I've also done a lot of channeling. In the 80s, I spent a lot of time trans-channeling. I've got about 1,000 single-spaced pages of that that I wade through, and that forms parts of my book, too.
That's what I was going to ask you, is your book, Choices in the Afterlife, where did you get your material from as far as to find, you know, to put in there?
Well, my mother's grandmother was a Cherokee Indian. And once I got a little bit better at this, I had always wanted to connect with her. I felt very, and my mother had told me that her grandmother was a psychic, at least in the native sense of psychic. Before telephone, she knew when somebody was coming, and she knew who it was, and, you know, she'd have an idea of what was happening with people, and so I was kind of interested in this grandmother. I guess I did meet her when I was maybe 2 or 3, but I don't remember it. So after my mother's mother died, I did a meditation at my mother's house, and I was really asking for my grandmother, but my great-grandmother came through, and she actually gave me the outline for some of the book. And I'm writing it down because I didn't have my tape recorder with me at the time. It is a blend of stories of meditations that I've done for living clients. Some of it is the channeled material, but the progression of energy levels in the afterlife was from my grandmother Drury.
Okay, great. So let's go into this, you know, in the afterlife, like we die, and what is the next step? I know it's really...
Well, Michael, love to just read a little bit from the book, because it's going to finish introducing the book.
Sure.
If that's okay with you, I'd love to do
that. No,
that's
totally fine. That's great.
Great. So I'll start. I'm always curious about how other people depict the afterlife. I find there is a kernel of true possibility in nearly every book or movie. There are many personal heavens, many personal hells, and endless possible afterlife experiences. What bothers me is anyone who says they have the only true answer, that there is only one way that everyone will experience the afterlife. No one can really say what anyone's continuing reality will be upon death, because it has been and is created by each individual as they go along. Everything we can imagine after death is possible to experience to some extent, if only within our own mental reality. Even a temporary ceasing of experience can be brought about by an individual who dies with a strong enough belief that death is like the blowing out of a candle. That was their truth in life, and that will be their truth in the afterlife until something changes it. The afterlife is a completely self-directed mental and spiritual experience. What I present to you in this book are the possible choices we will have to enact the tasks of self-realization, assimilation, healing, and progression, and that these tasks can be enacted in gradients of energy, energy levels, or energy realities that are progressive. I can only tell you that this is what we can choose to do after death, and these are the places where we can choose to do it. What you choose from the options you see from yourself is up to you. But as we try to discover more choices for ourselves and enact the highest possibilities available to us, our choices become broader, more varied, and downright fun. So that's just a little excerpt that kind of talks about, I had a passion for helping people in grief, but it turned into a real curiosity about how do I describe such a varied experience. And the idea came more through the channeling, the processes of self-realization, assimilation, healing, and progression. So we can talk about those if you want to.
You know, I find it interesting, you know, when you talk about, you know, once we, you know, die, we don't have to really go anywhere. We can still stay here like we are right now.
Right, and that doesn't make us a ghost. It just is a choice. If you want to go into the energy levels first, we can do that, perfectly happy. Most people don't go anywhere. When they die, they stay near not only the remains of their physical body, at least until they're disposed of, or in their final resting place, you know, whatever is the culmination of the process with their physical bodies. And then they stay near familiar people, places. Why would they leave? I mean, there's really no reason to. Now, having said that, most people are greeted when they transition out of their physical body. And it's actually a very, how can I put it? It's an honored responsibility for our ancestors or loved ones who have already died to be our greeters when we transition. And as one grandmother explained it, the torch was passed, you know, as she greeted her daughter, and now her daughter will greet her children. It is sort of like the passing of a torch. And the greeters just fulfill such an important function, and that happens pretty much at the moment of death. We are greeted by familiar loved ones who distract us, distract our attention from kind of what is going on with our bodies, and it gives us something to move toward. So instead of moving away from the body, we're moving toward people we love that we haven't seen in a while. You know, so of course we're eager to see them, and it's a joyous reunion. And so the function of the greeters is incredibly important, not only to inform people that they are out of physical if they thought they were dreaming or didn't believe that there was an afterlife, so didn't believe that they would be conscious once they were out of their physical body, but they also inform us of some of the first choices that we can make when we're out of body. And one of those choices is to stay here. One of those choices would be to move around near the earth. One of those choices would be to change our age to a time before the accident or illness that caused our death. So those are some of the very near, immediate information that the greeters bring. They also point out the tunnel transition. Now, if anybody watches Melinda and the Ghost Whisperer, the tunnel transition doesn't necessarily happen right away, but it is an important transition to know about. I call that layer of energy the Earth portal, because it removes us from very close proximity of the Earth. And we don't have to transit. We don't have to make that transition when we're out of our body right away. We can stay near the Earth, and it's entirely a matter of choice when we do. But that is a self-willed choice. To cross the tunnel, you have to will yourself to do it. It doesn't just suck you up like a vacuum cleaner.
Yes, that's what they make it look on those shows sometimes. As if you don't have a choice, as if you
right.
can't hang around here. And that's one of the things I was going to ask you was when you said about your relatives greet you. Are they able to do that if you still stay on this plane? You don't go to the light.
Absolutely.
They do? Okay.
Absolutely. A lot more is possible. When I wrote this book, I started it about 15 years ago, and I was doing a lot of soul rescue at that time. I call it soul rescue. I think there are a few other words for it, but I was working with a lot of suicides. I was working with mostly my clients were people who felt that their loved ones were not doing well, so that they wanted me to be involved and to go find them and help them. So a lot of the stories that stayed in the book are people who are struggling somewhat with making choices and moving around. And what I'm finding more and more now... Michael, I work predominantly with parents who've lost children. That's what I feel my real calling is. And what I'm finding more with young people particularly are groups forming and groupings even near the earth to help each other. I'll give you a little example of this if you want to keep going on this bent. I was doing a missing, presumed dead in Vermont, a young man. He had been in college, and his remains were never located. And I was working for the mother, and this is, of course, a terrible, terrible responsibility, just almost overwhelming. So I asked two young people that I have worked with, one deceased young people. I don't quite think of, to me they're, I met them when they were dead. So to me they're themselves. And one was a young man from about the geographical area. So I asked Zach, he's a little bit older than the boy who disappeared, if he would help. And I also asked a young girl who I'd worked with 5 or 6 times. For her mother, who was not doing well at all with Nicole's transition. So Nicole and Zach went out, and they did find the young man we were looking for, and he was deceased. And, in fact, he was with a boy who died a few years after he did. And I told the mother who all was there, and I think the fact that the other boy was there really validated, because she had called that mother and said, "You understand that I can't come to the funeral. I just, couldn't." And because she was friends, they were all mutual friends.
Right.
So, and recently I did a young woman in the Midwest, and I had read for her with her dad, and then her mom died, and then I went out again and met both her parents this time. And one of the things they were doing, and they died in the early 80s, but they were very, very outgoing people and very gregarious, and they were still close to the earth. They were still here. And they were helping older people transition who didn't have a belief that they would survive their death. Now, what can happen if you don't believe that you're going to survive your death is you can blow off, so to speak, your greeters. You can not believe them. You can think you're hallucinating. You can ignore them. You cannot accept the help. And sometime later, in your process, you might say, man, I wish I'd paid attention, you know. But what I'm seeing more and more lately is the help that is available from the other side on a very sort of close and tangible level. You know, these aren't your archangel, although sometimes I do call in very high, you know, much higher forms to help with, particularly suicides who won't believe me. And then I have the kids who look at me and they say, you look like my psychiatrist. Why would I want to talk to you? I said, well, I can't help it. I'm a middle-aged lady, you know. I am who I am. But one of the kids, Nicole, the young woman who I spoke with, she's the one that helped me develop a different interactive form of meditation. Nicole, oh, and getting back to groups, my little second cousin, too, was, I don't love it that these young people have transitioned, but they are as curious and creative and vibrant as they were in life. And my little second cousin died in a car accident, and is helping my cousin out with this. And he was in a setting that was a lot like a campus, a college campus, for lack of a better term. You know, so they do form groups. And I know Nicole, the young local woman who I've worked with so much, I know that she helps any youngster that transitions. She's still very close by. And she said that they have a sort of a classroom situation and with a teacher, and this was a teacher who actually died in this area but continued in that modality to help children who were coming out. And Nicole described what, if you think an unproductive thought, the teacher will help you erase it. She said it's called the golden eraser, because they really can't think damaging thoughts or unproductive thoughts. You know, you have to, if you didn't learn to control your thoughts in life, you've got to do it in the afterlife, because it has so much more profound effect on you. So anyway, Nicole has contributed so much to my learning. And she is the one that developed an interactive form of meditation that I'm doing now with parents. And sometimes spouses. You have to be pretty close to the person to actually want to do this. But what I do with the series of visualizations is I lead my living client to touch the energy of the deceased client. And I'm absolutely astounded at how many people can do this. They really can get mentally connected, as if you were in dream state, but this is conscious. They're not dreaming.
Right.
So, it was Nicole who helped me develop that. She actually stonewalled me about the sixth or seventh reading, and she said, I'm sick of you. Get my mother out here. I know she can do this. And I said, okay, honey, I'll try. And I actually went to the mother's home because I didn't, you know, I'd never done this, and I thought, well, maybe it'd be better if we did this in person. And now I do it for people, you know, all over the English-speaking world. So.
Let me ask you a question. Someone from the chat wants to ask you, how long before someone can be contacted when someone passed away? Like, how long is it? Can you reach them right away, or does it take a while?
That's an excellent question. I like to give people at least a month. And if I can't, now, see, psychics can read thought forms. I can read people's minds. I can do remote viewing. It kind of creeps some of my clients out when I tell them, you know, what they're sitting on and what's on their coffee table. But, thought forms we can read also. But as a medium, I want to be with the deceased in real time. So sometimes if it is too soon, we just try again. We just reschedule. Now, some people are completely conscious throughout the whole transition, and they never ever they may go away to heal for a little while before they bring their focus back, and that may be a more introspective time for them. And I might not be able to reach them right then, but generally I like 3 months, but I'm actually going to be working with a client who feels his father is very present. And I said, well, okay, we'll try, and if he's not ready to come, we'll try again later.
Right. So they do take a while to, with the transition, to be able to connect with us.
Most people, if you talk to somebody surrounding their own grief process, will tell you that they felt that their loved one was gone, like, and then later they really felt them. Or there's a period of time that they feel as if they're not around, and then they're around again. You know, so if you're really in tune with your loved one who's deceased, you can almost feel that when their focus is either on healing or it's all healing, whether it's memory-based or working with the greeters. You know, it all falls under that category.
Right. Okay. Now, getting back to what and people who are holding on the phones, we'll get to the phone lines here really soon, and we'll just kind of go back and forth with phone calls and questions here for my guest tonight. But one thing I found interesting, you know, you with helping kids who are lost and then connecting with them if they're on the other side. I listened to some shows where, you know, they do EVPs, you know. You know what those are?
No, what does EVP stand
for?
Well,
the electronic voice phenomena. Okay, so they get a recording and they play it and they hear voices back on it.
Mm-hmm.
And in some tapes, people have claimed that they locate children, and children are like lost out there. They don't know where they're at, and they can't find their parents. And it seems, to me, it just doesn't seem
practical. That really isn't the way it works.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there are so many people that help, particularly children.
Mm-hmm.
A child could never be left hanging.
It
just isn't going to happen.
Right.
You know, we're all beloved children of God. We all are in a chain of angels all the way back to God's source. You know, we're just one focus of a multidimensional being. There's no way that a child's going to be left hanging. I think a lot of what happens about the deceased experience is sensationalized, and it's like I've been working with a publicity agent just recently, and she wanted me to write a article on the near-earth deceased experience, and I do mention ghosts because it does happen that sometimes people can get a little stuck here and kind of lose track of where the tunnel is or the will to transition it, and that does happen. It is such an exception to the rule. And that's all she wanted me to write about. And I said, Kim, I cannot write that article because it completely misrepresents the experience that I have with the deceased, which are they have their best day ever. You know, they are young, they are vibrant, they are well, they are healed, they are happy. My clients are sometimes taken aback at what good shape their parents are in. You know, they're expecting the old curmudgeon, and that just doesn't come.
How does it affect the people on the other side if they see their loved ones still here grieving, though, very hard? Does that affect them on the other side?
Well, the way I like to put it is send them your love, and the grief is our process.
Right. But
you know, when you think of them as being well and young and finding meaningful activity in their continuation of life, and think of them as having a great time, and the grief is for us. That's our process.
Right, but I was just thinking that would that affect them, though, at all, by seeing us continuously to grieve for them? They'd want us to be happy?
The emotion can hold them at bay.
Mm-hmm.
It really can. It can interfere with your feeling of them being close to you. But as I said, grief is a process, and although you never stop grieving your parents, the emotional output of yours, I'm sure you've noticed a change in throughout the years. You know, you're not giving off the vibration of such sadness or longing, and at least not continuously. And I hope for your sake that it's transitioned more to the love exchange that I'm sure is still there for you.
Right, yes, right. I find, you know, people who, you know, come to the show a lot, you know, they have a hard time sometimes someone close to them to, you know, process it, especially
mm-hmm.
if it was a tragedy, some uncertain death, you know,
mm-hmm.
unsure of if it was foul play, and they're still left in a very depressed state. And
unfinished business is really difficult to process. You know, if you don't know, if there are elements of it that you don't know, it's very sad, very hard to process in that case.
Right. When someone dies and say they hang around and say they had physical limitations here, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe they couldn't walk or whatever,
mm-hmm.
is that all disappeared once they?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's gone. And I've worked with Alzheimer's patients who are as lucid as they ever were. I've worked at mental handicaps will reverse, physical handicaps reverse to the degree of health that you ever had, and then you can build on that. So somebody could become healed of anything that was mirrored in energy, in physical.
Okay, and another question from the chat. A good
mm-hmm.
question is, when people don't believe in the afterlife, do they have a harder time transitioning?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more fear. I really do. My own brother doesn't. So I just, you know, if he dies before I do, I can't wait to go tease him. Also, it really speaks of a spiritual void in life, because we are, you know, the Reader's Digest version is we come out of God's source in these huge spheres of intent that I call beings. Some people call these the oversouls, fragments of our being come into different manifesting levels, and there's so many different manifesting levels. This is just one. And we're here to complete our being intent or God-given intent. And then at some point when we feel that we've started to get the hang of it, we look back and we say, well, how did I get here? Why am I here? What am I doing here? And what that turning point is our turning point of trying to get back to God's source. So it's a wave. It's all a wave. We wave in and out of lifetimes. We wave in and out of God's source in the manifestation. Always with the intent to complete and return. You know, it's so there's somebody in life who doesn't have a concept of their soul or spirituality is kind of rough thinking that as beautiful as this experience of life is, this isn't all there is.
Right. Another question from the chat wants to ask you how you can tell whether a person has crossed over or is still here.
Oh, you mean cross the Earth portal?
Yes.
Okay. That's a really good question. Because I work with people on both sides, and the people who have crossed are in a more healed state, and they can both, the nearest deceased and the deceased that are in the healing levels, they can both affect the blossoming of plants, you know, they can both electronic messages to us, you know, the kind of signs that the deceased give us that they're still here. A butterfly or a bird coming, smelling their perfume or pipe smoke. all of those things both do. So I can't really say that there's... Well, I will tell you what changes. What does change is we have our physical body. Everybody's pretty aware of that. But we have other lighter energy bodies that are associated with us. We're really bundles of energy. We're a bundled phenomena here. Okay, so the next most dense body that we have, a lot of people call the astral body. I think Deepak Chopra calls this the emotional body, and I really kind of like that assignation for it. I call it the sensory memory body. When we drop our physical body, we still feel like we're in a body. It's a holographic projection from our own mind, but we don't even have to know that. It operates, it's the same size and scale as our body was. It seems to be interpreting sensual information the way our physical body did. We use it as a vehicle as we did our physical body. But this is the most dense of our lighter vehicles. A lighter vehicle than that would be our mental body. Now, the mental body is closely associated with our species choice. So if you think of these sheaths, sometimes people call these sheaths, S-H-E-A-T-H-S, and our soul or spirit, the starlight part of us, is the God component of us. So let's just look at those, just those bodies. Okay, so we got our physical. We've got our astral or emotional. We've got our mental, which is our species identity. And then we've got our spirit or soul or the starlight component or body of ourselves. What happens when we transition the earth portal is the astral is left behind here. And a lot of the deceased tell me that this feels more like death than their physical death did, because going from physical to the near-earth deceased experience or the astral experience is not that different. But dropping the astral and going to just the mental, spiritual, the very light bodies, really removes us from both the influence and participation in earth in our memory the way it's possible in astral. So for the deceased, there's a big difference, but that wasn't the person who wrote you's question was, how do I assess the difference, or how do we assess the difference? There is a big difference in the subjective experience of the deceased.
Okay. Okay, great. I tell you, I've got so many more questions for you, but if it's okay, why don't we go and go to the callers a little bit, and then we'll take our top of the hour break and then come on back. Would that be okay? Okay, great. Do you want to give out how people can contact you? You have websites?
Oh, sure. I've got a website. It's howspiritworks.com.
Okay, howspiritworks.com. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they could get your book there and everything?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Actually, most people seem to get it from Amazon, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah. Everybody shops there.
I am shipping out between 50 and 80 books a week to Amazon.
Oh, wow.
That's so it's way cool. And I think at some point some publisher is going to take notice of me. I actually have a gardening book that I did with a real publisher that sold over 21,000 copies. So
oh, wow.
I am a published author. I just really wanted to control this book myself.
Right. Okay, well, let's go to the switchboard, everybody, and let's go to our first caller tonight, calling from area code 520. You're up here in Journey of the Light with Gretchen Vogel. Can we have your first name, please?
It's Tina. Hi, thank you.
Okay, what was your first name again?
Tina.
Tina, okay, welcome to the show. Your question tonight?
Do you take any questions, like, on the career front?
Tina, what do you mean by that?
You want to know about your career, a psychic question? Is that what you're getting at?
Is that okay?
Oh no, honey, I'm really I do the dead.
Okay, so.
Well, you know, I have my brother on the other side.
But I'm not in trance. I guess I should explain, and you didn't know this either, Mike, so it's kind of hard to explain. But what I do is my readings are like an hour to 2 hours long. They're very in-depth, and I'm in a deep trance when I do them. So I can't be on the radio and in trance at the same time.
Okay. So help me out as far as what kind of questions should people call in about?
Well, if people have had an experience with a deceased loved one, I'd love to talk about that. If they may be stuck in their grief, I may be able to give them a little different way, maybe, of thinking about their loved one.
Right.
And just questions about what their loved one might be experiencing without me being. You know, I can't go out now and contact, and it's really just a very encompassing experience for me.
Okay. Okay, so let's do this then, callers. If you're calling.
Sorry, Tina, honey.
This is okay. So if you want to call in tonight and you have a question about your loved one, like, you know, where they might be right now or doing or how the transition is, or if you're having a hard time getting over a loss of a loved one, I think it'd be great to talk to Gretchen about that. So so if that's the kind of question you have tonight and you're on hold, please stay there. I'm going to take a short little break, and then after this break we'll come back here with our guest tonight, Gretchen Vogel, and your questions. Okay? So those are kind of questions we'll take tonight. So if that's your question you have, we'll come right back to your calls here on Journey into the Light. So we're going to take a short little break now, and we'll come back with you here on the other side of this. So you're listening to Journey into the Light, and I'm your host, Michael Long.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. ago, with Lord Malone, but now you never saw that to me, do ya? And remember when I moved to you, the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah. Not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and little broken hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Back, everybody, to Journey into the Light. I'm your host, Michael Long. A quick mention to everybody out there. This month, we're doing fundraising to keep our radio show alive, to keep it going. So if you can help to contribute to our radio show so we can continue on next month, please go to my website at journeyintothelight.org, journeyintothelight.org, and there's a simple PayPal button there or an address that you can help out the radio show. We also are doing a drawing this month. Free drawings, anybody that contributes. We're going to do a huge drawing on March the 4th, and right now our guests have so far offered two psychics, Lizzie Starr and Angelic Hope, have offered free 30-minute private readings with them. So a free 30-minute private reading with Lizzie Starr and Angelic Hope, and also psychic medium Michelle White Dove is giving away four of her own books to one person. So if you contribute, you'll be entered in the drawing on all of these that we're going to do on March the 4th. So we're going to add more to this also. I believe Medium Michelle is going to contribute a 30-minute free reading. So on March the 4th, you need to be here, and I will announce the winner for each offering. So if you can contribute to the radio show to help all of us so we can get our premium Blog Talk account back so we can have unlimited phone lines, because that cost us $100 a month and we need some people to step up to help out with that. So please go to my website, journeyintothelight.org, and there's a very high chance that you will get something back out of that as far as the drawing. So appreciate your attention to that. So let's go back here to my very special guest tonight, Gretchen Vogel. Gretchen, are you there?
Hi, Mike. Yes, that was a lovely song in the break, and I'd be very happy to contribute also.
Okay.
So I'll email you about that later.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that. Let's go back to the phone lines here. And again, if you have a question for our guest tonight about the afterlife, about someone who has passed, about their transition or trying to get over a loss, our guest tonight is a very top expert in that. So please call us tonight at 347-884-8245. And
Mike,
sure.
I've learned so much from the perspective of the deceased, because in life we dance with each other, and not everything that we do, that we put our effort in, is to further our own spiritual advancement. So one of the things that you do after life, well, you can start the process of assimilation here still in life, but the deceased really distill and refine what they did to assist and edify their own spiritual journey. So there's a lot of that sort of winnowing out life experience and deciding what you're going to keep with you in memory as you continue forward. One of the other things I've learned from them is in life you think what's outside of yourself defines you. You're so taken up with cleaning the house and making sure there's food and paying the bills and all that. You know, it's very, life seems to very much be on the outside of you, but when you lose the physicality of experience, you really understand how much your reality is determined from within. And if you learn to observe yourself and manage your thoughts and manage your emotions here in life, you're just all set. You've got what you need to as a skill set to direct your experience outside of physical. So there's so much you can learn about life by understanding the deceased experience, and in that the religions had it right, you know, kind of understand it from that direction.
Right. I've got so many more questions for you. Let's go to a couple of calls that I have holding here and see.
Sure.
Let's go back to the original call we have still holding. I think I have a question about what we're talking about now.
Okay.
Erie code 520, are you still there?
Thank you, yes.
Okay,
thank you.
Welcome back. Okay. Your question?
Well, my question is, when my brother passed, maybe about a month afterwards, I had a vision that it felt like the real deal, and I was walking in a part of the country where he had been murdered in my vision, and it felt like I was actually there. I'd never been there before, and he approached me, and in a form of a cloud. And as I merged with the cloud, I felt a hug, a deep sense of hug and love. And I've never felt anything since then. That was about 7-8 years ago. And I do feel, I don't feel concerned for him. You know, I don't feel that lingering sadness. I don't feel those things for him. I understand that he's very happy. Do they continue to stay with us the whole time that we remain on this plane? Do they just continue to, like my grandmother who's on the other side and my brother as an example?
Their attention is always with us. And it's kind of like, it doesn't mean that we're all they think about, but, for example, when you think of him, that vibration reaches him. And I'm so sorry, by the way, that you had to go through that and for your whole family. You know, that's a difficult separation to experience and a hard path, a hard thing for you to have in your path. So when you think of your brother with love, when you remember that, and I have no doubt that was him, he is aware. The vibration reaches him. The signal reaches him. And also with your grandmother when you think about her. So when you think about your own transition and you think, who would I most like to see? Now, your brother may actually enter pre-birth focus before you transition, so he may not be available. So part of it's that, you know, yes, I'd like to see this person if they haven't made other plans.
Absolutely. In fact, I feel, you know, it's not like I'm looking forward to transitioning, but I feel comfortable with the idea of transitioning because I know, well, I just think that they'll be there.
Of course. You've had to. You've had to learn that here. And it's a good thing to learn. It's just one step in the spiral of knowledge. It's, you know, knowing about the afterlife is just sort of one notch in our spiritual belt, so to speak. think, you know, there's a lot of other things to learn, but this is just one. And you do sound like you've got a good handle on it. I'm glad that you didn't tell me. When you started talking about your vision, I was worried that you were going to feel some of his experience, because when I'm in trance and working with a living client, I often feel the physical sensation of the death of the person that who transitioned, and it's not pleasant, but it is very confirming to my living client, because
yeah.
I tell them what the death is feeling like to me. So,
yeah. Well, thank you for being available for questions. I'll hang up and listen.
I'm sorry I can't tell you anything about your career, Tina, but there are lots of people who can. Take care, sweetie.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that call here. Let's go to one other caller that's been holding a while here. Area code 917, I think this is Fairy Sunrise in the chat room. Are you there?
Good evening. It's me, yes.
Okay, welcome. You made it.
Yes. Gretchen has such healing energy, I pick up from that.
Well, thanks. Thank you. And it's great to meet you, too. It comes right across the phone lines, doesn't it?
Yeah. I have a question about my personal life. I recently met a guy, and I really like him, but I'm looking for head over heels love and something long-term. I'm a big dreamer, but and I was wondering if this guy's the one.
Oh, sweetie, I don't do that. I don't do that kind of reading.
You don't do that kind of reading?
No, I work with grieving people for an hour or 2 hours at a time, and I'm in trance, and it's just a different kind of work.
Oh, okay.
But I can send you all kinds of blessings and hopefully.
Okay. Well, then I have another question, and it's related to somebody who passed away. Well, I had one psychic told me that my brother was killed, and then I had another psychic told me that he died, and he just died, whatever happened, and he wanted to teach me a lesson of grief, but I was not comfortable with that because I thought there's no such thing as a lesson of grief in that sense, so I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know.
Mm. I don't normally shoot from the hip, you know, I without actually touching the energy of the person. In fact, I guarantee my work, if I don't feel that I'm with the deceased, I send people's
mm-hmm.
money back. It's just the way I work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to keep disappointing you, but you must feel in your heart of hearts. How long ago was this?
6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, seven.
What area of the country did he die?
He died in Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I don't know if somebody killed him or it was a car accident.
I'm feeling very strongly it was accidental.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strongly. Like I say, I don't shoot from the hip. I don't like to do
yeah.
this,
mm-hmm.
but it really feels accidental to me.
Is there any message from him, or?
I'd have to be in trance, sweetheart.
Okay.
And I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm sorry. I should have said to Mike that the way that I work is either kind of on or off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the way you talk about him, just the tone. Because you do sense him with you. I know you do from time to time. You must feel him.
Yes, I see dreams about him all the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I could work with him very easily. Because I'm actually getting, you know, like I say, I don't do this, but I am getting the feeling that right behind you, that he often is kind of got your back, so to speak, and is almost a protective type of guide for you. But I feel that he's also, he's very sad about something. Something didn't connect the way it was meant to. Trying to get this a little more clearly.
Maybe something going on with his son? Something but, you didn't get with his family?
Yeah. It's almost like this was not in his plan. You know what I mean? That it wasn't in his plan. This really was accidental. This was... you know, kind of sabotaged his path this time. That's probably why people are telling you murder, because there's an element of sabotage to this, but I don't see it as somebody else's hand. Mm-hmm. It feels to me that it could have been self-sabotage, but it clearly was not, it was a possibility, but not a choice. And there's sadness. He's got some sadness about this. And it will take him time to make this right, because the people that he needs to make it right with are still here.
I see. Well, my grandmother passed away, and I'm hoping that she's with him.
I have no doubt they can find each other. People are very easily connected. Easy to connect. In your dreams, do you feel that he's at peace, or do you feel there's still some sadness there or angst?
I feel like sometimes he's just sad about what's going on with me. I think he maybe had that a little bit of a sad personality sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he's watching, like, I have a gift of seeing myself, so
mm-hmm.
when I look at his picture, I can sense that, you know, he's telling me something.
Have you ever had a tangible message from him?
What is it?
Have you ever had a tangible message from him?
Well, I had, actually, this is maybe the listeners would like that. I saw... somebody told me he was a shaman in past life, and I saw a white dove right after he died.
Mm-hmm.
He came to our bird theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who has white doves as pets, and they're usually not around.
Right.
And so that, I thought maybe that was like a sign from heaven, but I'm not sure.
It is. It's such a spirit. There's so much symbology around that. I think he has tried to get through to you. I feel that.
I had a dream when I had an argument with my aunt, and he came up and she showed up as a little boy, and he said, "Well, this is my aunt. Like, why are you getting so much mad at her?"
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big one.
Yes.
I don't know, I saw a little spider over my bed when I signed up for 10 different dating websites, but no.
The image that keeps coming to me while we're talking, it just keeps coming over and over and over, is a wedding band. Over and over and over, I keep getting that. I have no idea from where, because as I say, this isn't really my forte. In terms of the way I work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's wonderful. Please blow him a kiss for me, too.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, sweetie.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you, too.
Okay, thank you for calling. Good night. Okay, let me see. I got one other call holding, see if they have
okay.
a question in this area about questions. We're just tonight taking questions, really, about the afterlife, about we're not doing psychic medium readings as you may be used to, more like questions about the afterlife, what is the process, and, you know, if you're going through a tough time right now, you lost a loved one trying to heal, which I know happens to a lot of you guys out there, so please call in tonight, 347-884-8245, with our special guest tonight, Gretchen Vogel. So let me go to area code 617 and see if we got a question in that area. 617, you're on the air. Can we get your first name, please? You're on the air?
Yes, hi. This is Vicki.
Vicki, okay.
Hi, Vicki from Boston or Massachusetts, anyway.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
And your question tonight?
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't know that you guys are focusing on that area, but I do have a question in that area. I always wonder, you know, how sometimes people just, like, are not nice, and they end up hurting people. Are we ever really accountable for those things?
That's a great question, Vicki. Thanks so much for asking it. There is no judgment per se, but we can cultivate ignorance in our life. And when we're destroying energy, whether it is somebody else's or our own, there is an energy loss to us. And even the perpetrator of what we would think of as destructive acts, there is an energy loss to them. In life, even though it may not seem so, I like to phrase it as cultivating ignorance, so that their choices are become more narrowed, both in life and in the afterlife. So the form of judgment in the afterlife is a very self, I hate to use the word inflicted, but that's kind of where this sentence is going. You just don't have as good a quality in life or in the afterlife when you don't abide in love and kindness and generosity. Now, my next book is on this, and that's what I'm working on right now.
How interesting that I asked
yeah.
that question.
It really is what I think about and read about all the time right now. I think that as human beings, we are capable of both positive creativity and negative creativity. Now, most people don't go around causing trouble for other people, but where you see a lot of negative creativity in humans is in the self-destructive realm. You know, most people sort of don't love themselves as a spiritual being or even as much as they would love their mother. So I'm working a lot on that right now. That has been my learning path in this lifetime, is about opposition. So, yes, I do feel that there is a balance. I really do believe that. Can I prove it? I don't know. Say, for example, someone who was into a very particular perversion is now out of their physical body, and they're still fixated on that perversion. It was all they thought about in life. And so when they transition out of body, they don't immediately become a different person. Although there's always an opportunity to learn, to heal, to change your mind, that's always there. But say that they're still very locked into that one particular perversion, they're just going to be focused on people here on Earth who are participating in that same thing. You know, so the quality of their afterlife is not going to be very expanded. It's not going to be very happy.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, and basically we're just on a spirit form, right, when we pass over.
I'm sorry, say
that again. Still around, or it's just in a completely different realm?
I didn't catch the last word.
I meant a completely different, like it's a different, like a realm altogether.
A different
realm? Realm, R-E-A-L-M.
Oh, realm, okay.
Realm, sorry.
Okay. No, actually, there is no time and there is no space. If you can get your head wrapped around that, it's all right here and it's all right now. But we can't wrap our head around that. So we have to think about the astral plane as being a little bit higher or more removed than physical, while in fact it's right here. And even the healing levels that are much less dense, beautiful energy, colorful energy, people here channel that healing energy all the time. We think of that as being higher, but yet it's just less dense. So, no, actually, we don't, outside of space, we haven't gone anywhere. And but in our progressive kind of lineal way of thinking, that's hard to understand. Did that answer anything?
It kind of does answer anything. So, Well, I don't want to say it because I might be wrong, but it's almost like into nothing.
No, never nothing. Oh, never nothing. We participate in energy that's fantastic, and it just gets better and better.
You mean when
it
we pass
really,
over?
It really is quite wonderful. We can choose to have experience at the human species consciousness pool, which I call the hub city. That's where every activity historically is stored there. There are teachers who dispense information on everything you could imagine, any topic. You can find anybody there. There are just glorious levels of energy to participate in. So no, it's much less than nothing. It's
okay.
Just less dense energy. Well, it's physical is pretty congealed energy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand about vibration?
I have heard about it, but to be honest with you, and I've read about it, but I've never quite,
Have a pet? Do you have an animal that lives with you?
No, not with me, but yeah, I've seen animals, yeah.
Oh, that's too bad, because I was going to have you do a little experiment with vibration with your animal, because they'll pick up on the energy. Everything is energy. Everything you see, everything you touch, everything you feel, everything you taste, it's all energy. It's just different gradients of energy.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes sense. And do they see us? Like, do people that pass over see us?
Well, yes, if they want to.
Mm.
It isn't like they're all that interested in us, but for me, sometimes it's a little creepy because I can sense them around me. So I'm thinking, okay, are they watching everything I do?
That's funny.
I just don't think about it. I really don't. Now, I think that people wanted the veil to be very thick. I think people wanted to have a very strong delineation between the deceased and the living. Well, there's too many of us poking holes in that veil now. And, yes, we walk among the deceased all the time. As one friend of mine died in Erie, Pennsylvania, and she She said, you think there are a lot of living people at Disney World? You wouldn't believe how many dead people are at Disney World. So apparently it's a vacation spot for the deceased as well.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, thank you so much. I just always wondered about these things because, you know, it's just all the things that we deal sometimes, and I'm faced with so many moral dilemmas all the time. And I always wonder about the other party that don't uphold to it, yet in the end they might really come out better, you know. So
you know what I'd love to say to you is the only person that matters is you. Look within yourself always. And respond the best you can, no matter what's going on around you, true to your own nature.
Yeah.
And it really matters so little what goes on around us. Our journey is so about ourselves. And if we can honestly observe and manage and love ourselves, that's what catapults us toward spiritual knowledge, I think. It's such an inward journey to me. And I just try not to worry about the drama that other people generate. You know, I try and minimize the way it touches my life, unless I'm celebrating love and joy with people I love.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well,
all right, sweetie. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for taking the time to answer these questions. I really appreciate it. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Well, bless
Have
you.
A good
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for that. If you all have any questions like that, please call in tonight at 347-884-8245 to speak to our guest, Gretchen Vogel. I do have one other caller here.
Okay.
Let's go to that. Area code 248, you're on the air tonight with Journey of Light and Gretchen Vogel. Can you please give us your name and where you're calling from?
Oh, hi, my name is Melissa, and I'm calling from Detroit.
Okay, Melissa, and your question tonight?
Well, my father passed away a little while ago, and someone once told me, and I don't know how true this was, but they asked me if there were a lot of light bulbs burning out in my where I live, in my apartment, and I really never thought about it, but there was 10 light bulbs that I had to replace within, you know, a few months' time, which was very, very unusual, and then the huge light in my kitchen. And they said that that meant that my father was with me. Is that true?
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for calling in, and I'm sorry that you're now without your dad, at least as a tangible presence. Yeah, electronics are so, so commonly manipulated by the deceased because it's so easy. And there's lots of different ways the deceased communicate. It really depends on how you feel about it. Does it make you laugh? I mean, how do you, did it make you feel anything?
Well, I don't know. He passed away in July.
Mm-hmm.
And then come December, I mean, things just really fell apart in my life. I mean, it was just a lot of drama.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when all these light bulbs and stuff started going. And I was trying to think, because this is all new to me. It's all Latin, so I don't understand what it's like. But I wasn't sure if it was my dad or if it was my own energy or what it was.
It could have been a combination of both, where your energy, your vibrations that you were putting out were somewhat chaotic, and maybe he picked up on that and he said, well, I'm going to distract her. Would that have been something that he would have done? Would it have been in character for him or not? In other words, did he have a sense of humor?
My dad had a real big sense of humor, but if he saw me at that moment in time, he wouldn't think I was funny. Because, you know, I'm thinking, all these light bulbs going on. I was getting really irritated.
Now, to me, it sounds like somebody who does have a really good sense of humor and is trying to distract you from, you know, what's bothering you. And also, if you can think of any metaphor about replacing a light bulb, there's so many jokes about it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, that kind of a prank, you know, that if that was your dad, that is what kind of qualifies as a prank visit. For example, a friend of mine, every single picture on their dresser was turned down except one. And he asked me to come over, and I said, oh, yeah, that was her. You know, it was kind of a prank, a joke. So if your dad had a sense of humor and your dad was, you felt that your dad was trying to distract you or these things made you laugh. And by the way, did you replace them with energy efficient light bulbs?
Oh, good grief. I went for the cheapest ones. I was unemployed at the time. That's why I was so irritated. I'm like, I can't keep replacing all these light bulbs. This is crazy.
Aww. Have you... But this, if this was him, it's a very prank type of message, which would mean he would want you to lighten up or laugh. So if that seemed... If that seems to resonate with you, fine. If it doesn't resonate with you, then it probably was just surge, power surges that was causing your light bulbs to go out.
Or light bulbs made in China, the cheap ones that I bought. I don't know. But it was just really crazy. I just couldn't believe that all these, well, they were all different types of light bulbs, which is what made it kind of interesting. We have fluorescent
ones.
Yeah, no,
it actually sounds like a really good prank. And as I said, electronics are the easiest thing for the deceased to manipulate. Did, when it was happening in any of the nine, did you ever say to him, knock it off, Dad? You know?
Well, I really felt his presence, but I wasn't sure if it was my own manifestation, like I was imagining it,
mm-hmm.
or what, but yeah, I really felt like he was here.
Yeah.
So.
I think he was just trying to tell you to lighten up, no pun intended.
probably. But, you know, he probably could have been telling me to stop as well. That seems more like him because
right.
Yeah, I was really just kind of getting into that spiral, you know, of, oh, God, what's next? So.
Well, that could also be the message, you know, cut it out, turn it off.
You
got to think about it.
Right.
It's more how we integrate these messages. You know, some are like so blatantly obvious. And I would say that was pretty obvious where it kept happening. But what exactly the message is, you know, you're the only one who could really determine that. If you think about him.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if that, yeah, but it's good to know about the whole electricity thing and how it's the easiest thing for them to manipulate.
Oh, it's so common, so common. And people are finding coins everywhere now, too. I think that's the economy. People are just telling me that they're finding, like, for example, on their bedspread, my neighbor's husband just died. And she called me up and said, you wouldn't believe this. I found a penny in the middle of my bed, and I know that, you know, I didn't turn any of my pockets out. I didn't do anything, but he always picked up all the pennies he ever found. So, you know, that old expression, pennies from heaven. So coins are very common, but electronics are the easiest. So you might have a song. If you had something on shuffle and the same song that reminds you of the person kept playing, or there's so many of these. I had one woman whose caller ID displayed her daughter's name. And it never would. I mean, even if her daughter had called when she was alive, that isn't what the caller ID would have said. And she was like, and it was at the funeral for her daughter. Just like, whoa.
That's
pretty special.
Yeah, I would say.
Do you ever ask his advice?
Yeah, I mean, I've never gotten any clear answers, probably because I don't know how to hear them, but...
The message can come when you're not thinking about it, and it can come in symbols, too. I'm trying to think of an example of a symbolic message. And it doesn't mean you have to drive yourself crazy, you know, trying to look for the signs and omens. But if you just quietly say, you know, could you help me figure something out about this? And then just wait for a few days and see if something pops into your head that, you know, you weren't thinking. It's just sort of a flash of inspiration or intuition. Is kind of what it feels like. And it doesn't even have to be in his voice, you know, but just an intuition
right.
that you say, oh, yeah, I could do it that way.
Right.
But the harder you try, the less likely you are to succeed, though. You have to kind of let it go and just be receptive, you know, put the question out and then just have a kind of quiet confidence that you'll get an answer.
Right.
One way or the other. But I'm sorry you died. Is your mother still living?
Yeah, she is. I mean, the funny thing happened. I ended up getting a job, and it was in the same city as my mom.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of weird. I couldn't get a job in my current
city. Well, getting a job
city.
Is a really good thing these days. So.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
I was looking for 6 months. I couldn't find anything
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I got this job offer in Cleveland, so it's pretty amazing.
I was born in Erie.
Oh, really?
Erie, Pennsylvania, yeah. I have ties to that area. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you moved already or you're going to move?
Well, that's what I'm not quite sure of. It's a six-month contract, and I've got this apartment here for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure what to do, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what to do.
Well, it sounds like being close to your mom, you could still do the job, and I don't know, how do you get along with her real well? And not give up your apartment and just live with her and do the job and see if it leads to anything?
Yeah, I guess that's a game plan. You know, I hate to do that. You know, I don't know. I'm just so used to being on my own, and I don't want to be in imposition. And even though she said I wouldn't be, I've got two cats, and she's allergic to cats, so they're they would be in the upstairs of the house. And
mm-hmm.
you know, I know it would still bother her, and that would bother me. So
yeah. Well, I've got a kitty on my lap right now. The kitties love my office. They just want to live in here. Well, good luck, sweetie.
Well, thank you for your advice.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thank you very much. With time remaining kind of running down here, I want to ask you, Gretchen, do you have any experience on people passing over from suicide? And if so, what do they experience?
There's a huge range of experiences. In my in the work I've done so far, and I really have worked with a lot of people who suicide, there's a lot of range in consciousness. Some people who suicide in the face of a terminal illness, they don't seem to have much of a problem with consciousness after they suicide. And they don't really feel that their suicide was a determinant to their completion of learning, but I've only ever talked to one middle-aged suicide who, as far as I know, didn't have any other physical issues, who was functioning very well. Most of the time, suicide is a setback for us. In terms of we've got more work to do, you know, than if we had just hung in and figured out our own self-destructiveness here while we were in a physical body. But having said that, there's so much help available. One of the things that happens when people suicide is that they're obviously in a very depressed and very bad state mentally, and they carry some of that with them into their afterlife, so that even if people are trying to help them over there, they feel that they don't deserve the help. There's a lot of self-recrimination. They haven't learned how to manage their thoughts. So in the afterlife, you know, their emotions and thoughts are just still running amok. But there's always help. There's always so much help. And people don't give up on people in the afterlife. You're going to have somebody who really cares about you that's going to keep trying to bring you to a way of thinking that is more productive and more positive. I don't recommend suicide.
Right. Not recommended.
And not recommended. I certainly understand the level of emotion that you can get in that wants to move on. But every suicide that I've ever worked with, it just things were harder. You know, for them, their processes. Like, for example, let's take self-realization, the first of the processes. Self-realization is understanding that you're still yourself, although you're out of the body you identified so strongly with in life, and that you are still in your present. And I think what a lot of people who suicide want is to not have the experience of themselves, but you can't get away from that by killing yourself. It just doesn't happen. You know, you're still yourself, you're still in your present, but now you're outside of a physical body. You see the reaction of your family. You see all that sadness. You have regrets. You just have a burden of problems and issues from that act that you have to work through. And it's harder. But like I said, people who are terminally ill, I've worked with several who function very well.
Right. So if they're seriously ill and a lot of pain, then they transition
mm-hmm.
pretty good. But if it's someone in their prime, they would have a harder time.
Well, and even I have a lot of thoughts about this. For myself, I mean, I don't have children. I don't know what my extreme old age will be. My dad just died at the age of 92, but he had a lot of people around him taking care of him. I don't know whether that's going to happen for me. And knowing what I do about the afterlife, I always wonder if you know, when I'm 90 and want to pack it in, I still haven't completed the question for myself of would that be all right to do or not if I was able and capable. So it's still open-ended, but I do see that people struggle with self-realization more. A lot of times they're still within the manner of their death. I still find them in the same, like a man who hanged himself. He was still hanging. You know, it's like, look, you don't have to stay here, you know, but he didn't know what else to do.
Oh, he was still in his body hanging?
No, he was out of his body. His body had long since been removed.
Uh-huh. Oh,
but in his mind,
right.
His mind couldn't move beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the most stuck ones I've ever worked with.
So do you, it's probably for another show since our time is wrapping up here, but briefly, so do you believe in reincarnation and we do come back? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. However, all of our lifetimes are simultaneous. And that's a little hard to explain in our progressive lineal, but I've actually gotten a handle on that because I visited myself in another lifetime.
Really? So we're experiencing all these lives at different times right now at the same time?
Yeah, yeah. You arc back and forth between different lifetimes at different times, different patterns that were similar, and we can make different choices. For example, my husband and I have been together many, 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 many times, and not always successfully. I mean, I've killed myself over him. He's killed himself over me. And we thought, well, okay, this is the one that we feel we're in right now. Let's try and get this one right, you know.
Right.
I mean, the one that's important is the one you feel you're in at the time. But
right. So are there other, you know, it's kind of a silly question, but yeah, some people wonder, are there different galaxies out there, universes that we're also at, different planets?
There are so many manifesting levels.
Mm-hmm.
And as humans, we have to exist in other star systems. We just do. But I think what's even more interesting is all the different manifesting levels that we can. For example, some people who come out from God's source with their being or God-given intent only go as far into energy as the human species consciousness pool or the hub city. People call it the City of Light. It's called the Crystal City. A lot of people are aware of this level of experience. It's where the Akashic records are. That's all that same experience level. They don't come all the way down into this density of experience. They complete their intent without even coming this far into this density. So,
now, what briefly? What about? Do we ever transition into other species? You know, like animals, or is that a different sect?
Cross species reincarnation is rare. It does happen,
mm-hmm.
but it's a very unique situation. It would be when you were so close to completing your intent, and the only way that you could complete the expression was to do a cross-species incarnation, but it takes so long to cross over in knowledge into a different species identity. It's very, very rare.
Mm.
Everything that's possible is possible. You know, all the possibilities have to exist. You know, so you really can't rule out anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. I always wonder, and I've heard some people talk about, say, insects, for example, say ants, you know, there's millions of billions of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some people said they have souls, but it's more like a cluster box that they go back into.
Mm-hmm.
Is that,
mm-hmm.
It's not like an individual.
Yeah, there are even hive, HIVE souls for humans. And that would be in a case where a human didn't have a lot of, they weren't really a self-knowing individual. You know, so they might be participating in the species, but because they weren't individualized, they would be even in what we would think of as a kind of a hive gestalt, you know, where because they weren't an individual working on an individual intent here.
Right, right.
I know some incredibly self-aware animals. I have some. And one of the things that set us apart as species, I still think about that a lot. And in my observation, which may not be true, we may be the only species that can negatively create here on this planet. I'm not 100% on that one, but that's what it looks like to me.
Well, I've loved your knowledge. I really have, Gretchen, and I really look forward to hopefully you'll come back to the show.
Yeah, this went by really, because it's like, what, 1 o'clock here in New Hampshire?
Right.
And this was very, very pleasant, Michael. You know, you're doing a really good thing. You have really great energy. And,
oh, thank you. Thank
and
you.
I'm
so
sure your parents are very proud of the journey that you're on now.
Thank you.
In spite of their loss.
Yeah, like I've said to you and I've said to my audience, you know, I know because of the loss, that's what I'm doing, why I'm doing what I'm doing now. And, you know, at the time when it happened, I didn't understand it. But 30 years later now, I could see, you know, why we choose to, you know, go into this life, into this family, and why we, you know, needed for our soul to experience that, even though it's a, you know, very hurtful.
Very, very hard.
Especially
very,
at the time.
Very painful.
Mm-hmm. But later on, you can see, you know, you get some of your answers, at least, some
yes.
of them, at least.
Yes, a few of them.
Not all, until we cross over, but anyway, so.
I guess I'll be with you next Saturday night. This is just too much fun to pass up.
Yes, I'll send you an email here tonight. So, okay, and your website is howspiritworks.com.
Howspiritworks.com, and I have a little monthly letter that I send out. It's very short, and it's about my experiences as a medium, because I'm always learning. There's so much I wish I had, you know, could put into the book now, you know, of this anecdotal experience of people's senses of humors and just the really interesting things that happen because of this work. So that's kind of what my newsletter is at, and anybody who wants to can find a link to follow through in my website and email me, and I'll put them on the mailing list if they'd like to be there.
Okay, great, great. Okay, so we'll look forward to having you back on next Saturday night.
Okay.
And thank you. It's been really wonderful. And good night, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay,
good night.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. Gretchen Vogel, please check out her website, please. Please do the energy thing and go to her website, and please send her an email. Tell her thank you for being on to the show, and check out her book. I think it'd be a beautiful book to buy and read, Choices in the Afterlife by Gretchen Vogel. My show tomorrow night is going to be with Dionysus, 9 p.m. Central Time. Dionysus will be on the show for 2 hours, taking your phone calls for readings. Looking forward to that. And then Monday night, our new member of the Jill family, she goes by the name of Bo, psychic medium. She's on my show last week for the first time. Has tremendous, great energy, great psychic medium. And she's going to be part of our Journey of Light guest group. And she's going to be on a lot of times this month, coming up in March. So she's going to be on Monday night. I'm trying to think of the top of my head. And then Thursday night, like I announced, Dr. Luis Torrey is going to be on here, back on my show. He's a internationally known psychic, astrologer, great predictor of earth changes. He's going to talk about his journey and beating cancer, that he recently had just beaten cancer. I believe he had colon cancer. And he's going to talk about how you can cope with having cancer and how you can beat cancer. And he's been through a tremendous journey. He was overseas in the hospital. And he told me last night, I spoke with him, that he has a lot to say. And really looking forward to that. So that's going to be a very special show Thursday night with Dr. Luis Torrey. I think we're going to be starting on that show at 10 p.m. Central Time due to a basketball game with Holly. But but look forward to that. He'll be on the show. He always takes your phone calls also. He's a tremendous psychic medium. And anyway, so mark that on your calendar. Tell your friends to be here Thursday night for that special show with Dr. Luis Torrey and his journey through cancer. And he wants to tell you how you can beat cancer too. And if it ain't you that has cancer, I think we all have family members or friends. I hear so much about that on the news lately. Who was that? Roger Ebert, who did all those movie reviews and stuff, and they did a little story about him. I just recently saw that. He had cancer in the mouth, and I guess they took out his lower jaw, and he, of course, lost a lot of weight. And he doesn't even resemble his original picture. But anyway, so looking forward to that. Dr. Luis Torrey is a person so full of energy. If you haven't heard him before, you definitely want to listen to him Thursday night. Okay, so tomorrow night, Dionysus is on for the full show with me. Looking forward to that. Thanks, everybody in the Jill Family chat room. Please, please support the show so the show continues on. We're doing great giveaways. We're going to do, again, if you do donate to my show, please let me know. Send me a private message so I can enter you into all the drawings we're going to have. Right now, you'll be in every drawing. So we have, and the drawing is going to be March the 4th. We're going to announce, and you have to be there on the show March the 4th to claim your prize. Right now, we have offerings from Lizzie Starr, is giving a free 30-minute private reading to the winner of her drawing, and that is tremendous. Yeah, Lizzie Starr is booked up for like weeks to months, and she is going to give you a free reading for 30 minutes private. That is by itself a tremendous drawing. But you're going to be added into the other drawings of Angelic Hope is doing also another free 30-minute private reading with her, Leanna Thomas, Angelic Hope. Michelle White Dove is donating 4 of her books that she's going to give to one person, so that's another drawing. Our guest tonight is going to be giving out a donation as far as, I believe, to a drawing for the show also. I know Media Michelle is going to offer a free 30-minute private reading also with her. So all of these, so if you donate to our show, contribute to our show, you will be entered into each drawing, okay? So please visit journeyintothelight.org, journeyintothelight.org. I need your help to continue on with this show. So we want to get back our premium Blog Talk account. That's one of our expenses. And that's $99 we have to pay a month. That's just one of our expenses. But this is a radio network that I'm continuing to try to grow. We have shows on every single night just about with new guests every night. We even have a Wednesday afternoon show. I don't know any other show like this. It's full of love. It's full of you guys making this show up. And let's continue this. We can do this if everybody helps. But I think the show is worth it. And if you think the show is worth it, then please go to journeyintothelight.org and please contribute today. There's a simple PayPal button there, or you can mail in. It's very, very easy now. We used to just have a mail-in system, which is kind of hard to do. So if you can, go to journeyintothelight.org. Okay, well, that's going to do it for me. Hello, Jake. Thanks for stopping by. Sorry we missed you for most of the show, but you were on our minds. I asked earlier in the chat where you were, if we were anybody new. but anyway, glad to have you here, buddy. And hello to everybody else here, Deb and Dionysus. Holly, Jake, Jupiter, good to see you. KC11, good to see you. Lightworks 09, thanks for being here. Amanda Panda, O'Brien 14, Satori, thank you so much for all your help tonight. Thank you for all the help you give me on all my shows. It's just a true blessing, honestly, that you're here and helping. It doesn't go unnoticed, and sometimes I get so busy I don't mention it. But I don't forget that, though. I truly do appreciate you, and I know all the Jill family loves you, too. So, and Sun Love, thanks for being here also. So I'll probably play some music here for the next hour. You're free to stay in the chat room and chat if you like. Again, tomorrow night, Dionysus will be here live on Journey into the Light. I don't know if he's going to have his radio voice or not, but we will see. Oh, too much fun here at Journey into the Light. So that's going to do it for me here on Journey into the Light. And Dionysus says he's going to come with his radio voice too, so we'll have it all tuned in. So, we're going to close out the show then, since our show has ended, even though there shows time up there. I'm just going to play a few tunes for y'all as I wrap up this evening here at the Jill family headquarters. Oh, I'm getting silly. It must mean I'm getting tired. So let's go out with our normal song that we always go out with, Dust in the Wind. So everybody out there, thanks for being here tonight. It was wonderful. Thanks for joining in with me. You guys out there, take care. I love you all. Be safe. God bless. And good night, everybody, from Jill family.
Thank you. Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. Yes, that one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. One love, we get to share it. Leave you, baby. Thank you.
But I know that you'll find another that doesn't always make you wanna cry. Started with a perfect kissing, we could feel the poison setting, but I couldn't keep this love alive.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. But then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Now, Mama couldn't see him. Oh, but he was standing there, and I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayers. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours, to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times, and had me down on my knees. There's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand. A phone call from a friend just to say I understand. But ain't it kind of funny at the dark end of the road that someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope? Oh, I believe there are angels among us sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with a light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places to grace us with their mercy. In our time of need, oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live. Teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love, to guide us with the light of love. Found at home, and she is searching. reach deeper. If lofty glances from lofty people, they can't see past a scarlet letter. And we've never even met her. The judgment looms under every steeple. If lofty glances from lofty people can't see past a scarlet letter. And we've never even met her. Never even met her. Did anybody hear her? Does anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope that turned away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Does anybody see? Does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for.
join the brotherhood. My books were all to me. I scribe the words of God and much of history. Many here was I, which out upon the sea, the waves would wash my tears, wind my memory.
cake looks funny, Daddy, but I sure tried. Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I must have done something right to deserve a hug every morning and butterfly kisses at night. Like her mama, a little more every day. One part woman, the other part girl. To perfume and makeup, from ribbons and curls. Trying her wings out in a great big world. But I remember butterfly kisses. After bedtime prayer, big and little white flowers all up in her hair. You know how much I love you, Daddy, but if you don't mind, I'm only gonna kiss you on the cheek this time. Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I must have done something. Deserve her love every morning and butterfly kisses at night. Oh, like the wind the years go a promise, and I'll give her away. Standing in the bride room, just staring at her. She asked me what I'm thinking, and I said I'm not sure. I just feel like I'm losing my baby girl. And she leaned over, gave me butterflies. With her mama there, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. Walk me down the aisle, Daddy, it's just about time. Does my wedding gown look pretty, Daddy? Daddy, don't cry. Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I must have done something. Deserve love every morning and butterfly kisses. I couldn't ask God for more. Man, this is what love is. I know I've got to let her go, but I'll always remember every hug in the morning and butterfly kisses.
Putting on the wrist.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Bye.
the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom, the mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Beckensee, Maha Beckensee, Rasa Samut Gottes.